Good morning, everyone. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Everything has a context. In order to understand something, you most times have to understand the context in which it's given. The passage today, and I think all of Matthew chapter 13, is no different. I had us read Ezekiel 17 partly for that purpose. I believe that the parables, at least the parables of the kingdom, were set in the context of an expectation. And unless you understand that expectation, you don't really understand the parable and the thrust of the parable. We understand expectation when it comes to things in our world like the Super Bowl. We build up to the Super Bowl for weeks to come. And when we get to the day of the Super Bowl, it's hours before the actual game that they hype every particular aspect of the game. And I have seen a couple good Super Bowls in my life, but most of them do not live up to the hype. Most of them are an extreme disappointment. Similarly, we can purchase something out of a catalog, and it can look so wonderful in the catalog, and then you receive it in the mail, and it's a lot less than what you expected. Unmet expectations are common. We all have them in life. God, I think, intends for us to have them. But when it comes to our salvation, both personally and globally, what expectations have God set for us? What expectations do you have concerning your salvation that remain unmet? God has promised the Holy Spirit. He has given us union with Jesus Christ. He has promised us freedom from sin. He has put us in a body of believers that He calls us His bride. And yet our prayers are weak. We continue to struggle with sin. We lack fellowship in the church. We are a disappointment to ourselves, and we are disappointed with others. In many ways, we are disappointed with the salvation that God has given us. We can even, in America, be disappointed with the fact that the American church seems to be losing ground. Well, if you have these disappointments, if you have these expectations that seem to be unmet, you are not alone. I believe that this passage, which we're going to look at in a minute, will tell us that the angels themselves were somewhat disappointed. Certainly the disciples of Christ were disappointed. They began to have the question, Jesus, is this it? Is this really all there is? You see, in the Old Testament, there had been kingdoms rise and fall, great and glorious kingdoms, like Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom in Babylon, the Egyptian Pharaoh kingdoms that had risen to great heights, and they were spoken of with great glory, and yet God brought them low again. The nation of Israel throughout its history had been one disappointment after another. And then God begins to give promises in the book of Ezekiel 17 that we looked at today. Also in Daniel, there were many promises that God Himself would raise up a kingdom. And this kingdom would be glorious. And as we know, this is the kingdom that we are going to celebrate this Christmas. In the birth of Christ, His coming kingdom. But there were many disappointments as well. Verses 24 through 43 are really one unit. I want you to look at that before we take time to read it. Verses 24 through 43, one unit. He begins by speaking of the parable of the weeds, which you may be familiar with. And then he moves down in verse 31 to the parable of the mustard seed. And then very quickly goes to the parable of the leaven, or the yeast. And then he has a couple verses where he explains parables again. And then he has the explanation of the parable of the weeds. And so that whole section is one unit that he expects us to understand together. With that in mind, let's hear the word of God. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened.' All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet: 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds and of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.'" I'm going to look at three disappointments of the kingdom of God, and I hope that they'll be an encouragement to you today. The first disappointment was the disappointment of the weeds. God had sown his seed, but now we have weeds that are growing. And so the question is raised, how did the weeds get here? Did you not sow good seed? I know that in our day and age, if you purchase good seed, you have an expectation that there won't be as many bad seeds mixed in with the good seed. Jesus, what's the problem? Has the seed not been good? Now, I want you to understand and look at verse 39. Who are the servants? Who are the reapers in this passage? It is not just the disciples. It is the angels of God. This is important because the angels from all throughout history, they are observers of God's plan of redemption. They have been watching it for ages, and they had all of these expectations. Now, the people of God also have expectations as they look at the Old Testament prophecies. But these angels have these expectations, and they see Jesus Christ come as a child, and they're ecstatic. It comes with the angels declaring the kingdom of God is here. Jesus rises up, and he grows and becomes a man and begins his ministry. And the ministry seems to be a frustration. And you can imagine the angels when they are looking on and saying, "Wait a minute, Jesus, here's your kingdom. Why are there so many people that don't believe? Why are there so many people not responding well to your kingdom? These weeds are growing up right in the midst." Has something gone terribly wrong, Jesus? Jesus' answer is, no, there's nothing wrong with the seed. An enemy has done this. Well, next question. You can imagine the angels saying, well, let's go get them. Let's get rid of these weeds. We can't have these in your kingdom. Let's get them out of here. Jesus says, no. Let me just give you a little background on weeds, though. Some of the older translations used to use the word tares. You're probably familiar with that in the King James. And another word is darnel. And this is interesting as I read it. I hope it's helpful. That these weeds, these darnel, these tares, looked a lot like wheat as they began to grow. The problem was that when the fruit began to bear forth, it produced kind of a black fruit, and it was actually a mold would grow on it or something. It was poisonous. So the actual fruit, you wouldn't know it until the fruit began to bear. They looked the same at first, but as time began to go on, you began to see that it was wrong. But the problem was, by the time you began to see that the tares were actually tares, the root system had intermingled with the wheat itself, so that if you were to pull the one up, you would get both of them. So that's kind of the historical situation. And I just think the craftiness of Satan is truly, it's real. He knew that if he had a weed that looked like a weed from the beginning, they would have pulled it out. But the idea is to let it look like wheat for a time and then to produce it. Now, the weeds themselves symbolize unbelievers, no question. And they also can possibly symbolize false believers. The interesting thing is that the growth of both occurs simultaneously. And there's debate on this subject. A lot of people think that he's speaking of the church. And a lot of people say, no, he's not speaking of the church. And so the question is, are the weeds people among the church who are false believers? Or are the weeds the whole world that we live in, that the believers are intermixed with an unbelieving world? Okay. And I think it's a worthy discussion. I personally think that both occur. There are weeds in the church and there are weeds out of the church. So I take a response to that. Now, the point of the problem is this. God's kingdom is supposed to be gloriously pure. What the angels and the disciples are beginning to see is, how can we have a gloriously pure kingdom with this mixture of evil in it? How can that be? So they say, should we pull them out now because the kingdom has to be pure? Jesus says, no. We think the weeds are diminishing God's kingdom. We think to be in the midst of unbelievers is somehow a disappointment to God. The reality is, God intends for His kingdom to grow in the midst of weeds. Now, I do want to stress one thing, though. 2 weeks ago, we had a parable of the sower. And in that parable, he talked about thorns and thistles. And they choke out the believer's faith. Don't mix these two. It's not that in this parable, the weeds are not choking out the wheat. They're just growing up in the presence of them. The issue is not that these weeds are somehow destroying the wheat. That would be dealt with in the previous parable. This is just the fact that they're growing up together. And it's not right, Jesus, that your kingdom has a mixture of unbelief in it. Okay, that's kind of the issue going on. Jesus says, don't worry about it. I'm doing exactly what I want to do. And in the end, I will separate them. The weeds will be burned at harvest time. And the wheat will be gathered into my barn. And he says, at that time, the wheat will shine like the sun. Now, again, you don't understand this unless you understand the context. Turn over to Daniel chapter 12. Ezekiel, Daniel in your Old Testament. Chapter 12, verse 3. Again, this is speaking of this. It's a prophecy of the future, prophecy of the coming glorious kingdom. And he says, and those who are wise, speaking of the ones that will receive the kingdom, shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteous like the stars forever and ever. See, there's a picture in the book of Daniel that the true believers, the true kingdom of God, those people will shine forth as brightness of the sun. And this is the problem that the angels had. Well, Jesus, they're mixed in with all this unbelief. He says, don't worry. They're going to grow together. And then in the end, they will shine like the sun. And that's our glorious picture. Yes, we may not look that glorious right now. We may be mixed with all kinds of unbelief. But don't worry. That's exactly the way God intends His kingdom to grow. And in the end, He will make the separation and you will shine in all your glory. It's a wonderful promise. Do not let the presence of weeds disappoint you. Do not be disappointed by their presence. There's also another disappointment, and that's dealt with in the parable of the mustard seed. This is the disappointment of size. The disappointment of size. When you look at the Old Testament prophecies, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 says that God's kingdom will rule the whole earth. Ezekiel 17, the passage we looked at, said God will make this wonderful kingdom and this tree will branch out and the birds will nest on it. Speaking of its awesomeness, its majesty, its greatness of this kingdom. And if you had that expectation and you were one of Jesus' followers or you were one of the angels looking on, you'd say, Jesus, is this really it? I mean, there's a few of us here, but we're not anywhere near a glorious tree. We are a small people, a few followers. Should we not be disappointed? And I think that makes good illustration for us today. We're not always great and majestic and seeing wonderful grandeur things happen. We're not always looking that good. Could also be taken in your own life. You're not always seeing great and majestic things occur in your personal relationship with Christ. Jesus, is this all there is? What happened to this great and glorious work? Now, you've all heard before that the mustard seed is a relatively small seed. It's 2 millimeters in diameter. And it can, although it's never really becomes a tree, it's more of a bush, it can grow up to 10 feet in height. I actually have a picture of it. Somebody wants to see it. But the idea is not that it grows into a cedar, although God's kingdom could clearly be called one of the largest, greatest kingdoms. The idea is that it begins small and grows from that. That's the whole picture, that it starts small. And I think this has a lot of lessons for us to learn. You are not to be seeking greatness. You are to be seeking genuineness. You are to be seeking authentic Christianity. Let God deal with the greatness. He will make the kingdom great. He will do it in your life. He will do it in our midst. But that is not our focus. Don't be disappointed. Don't strive for greatness with the wrong focus. There's a third disappointment, and that is the disappointment of the leaven. Leaven is another word for yeast. Now, I guess there were various types of yeast. Now we all have the kind we buy in the store, but you could make sourdough bread. You can have a yeast that way as well. But it was a yeast, and the issue with leaven is when you put it in, it would transform the entire mixture. Most of the time in Scripture, leaven is used in a negative sense. with sin, that sin comes in and affects the whole person. Not in this case. This is a case where leaven is actually used positively. And the idea is that the kingdom of God, the expectation of it, was that it would transform entirely. There would be nothing left untransformed. You could take this on an individual level. God, in His coming into your life, will not simply deal with parts of your life, but He will transform all of your life. You can take this on a larger scale with the church, that He is not just going to transform portions of the church, but the entire church will be transformed by His power. You can take this on a global scale. In the fullness of God's kingdom, the entire earth will praise Him. It will be transformed throughout. That's the picture. There will be a thoroughness that is going on. And I look at this as inner, true transformation. Not just the size, which we looked at before, but the actual inner transformation of the life, the church, and the whole world. The kingdom will not just bring about partial growth. So Jesus says, don't worry about it. Even though it doesn't look like it's transformed yet, trust me, it will be. He will do it. So you have the disappointment of the weeds, you have the disappointment in the size of the kingdom, and you have the disappointment in the inner transformation throughout the whole person. Looking at verses 34 and 35. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, He said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. And we've already talked about parables before. I'm not going to go into all that. But I want to give one important truth here. God had something that was hidden from the foundation of the world, and now it is revealed. The question is, what was hidden? What is it that was hidden? It's not just that God would save someone. It's not just that He would bring a people to Himself. It's the way in which His kingdom would conquer. Nobody could envision this. Nobody could fathom that God's kingdom could grow in the way that it was growing. That's what was so hidden and is now revealed in the parables. It's what Jesus is telling them right now. I am teaching you the glory of my kingdom, even though it doesn't look like it to you. Do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. And I ask us today, as we think about Christmas, and if you ever just notice, make a gauge of your heart. When you sing one of the Christmas hymns and they're so full of joy and expectation and glorious kingdom, then think about your heart. Is that your experience? You're living in this kingdom. It's dwelling within you. Do you see that tension, that disconnect at times that occurs? This Christmas season, don't be disappointed. The kingdom surely is growing in ways that we could have never imagined. But God is moving forward His kingdom exactly as He wants. And I am telling you that when He comes again, no one will be disappointed. No one will be disappointed. Our goal today is not to be trying to make the kingdom great. God will do that. Focus on Christ. Focus on genuine and true worship of God, however small it may be. Everyone here is at different places. Seek Him genuinely today. Lean upon Him because He is the one who will bring a glorious kingdom to His people. Amen.